hear these words, the sermon text for today from Matthew chapter 6, just three short verses that talk about God providing for us even in our time of physical need of a different sort. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show people that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have already received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to people that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord God, we give you thanks for the many evidences we have of your grace. We give you thanks for this word. And as we consider it and Jesus' call for us to fast appropriately, but not to be seen by others, help us to honor you and your word and to find ways to put it into action in our lives. We give you thanks for Liz Dale and her testimony of faith in you as Savior and Lord. We pray that you would strengthen her in the days to come, and that you would walk with all of us as we reflect on this passage of Scripture together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Liz, today I would like to speak directly to you, if I could. You are the intended audience of this sermon, although all the rest of you are welcome to listen in. I hope you do. It's not your cue to check out and kind of wait. But I have Liz in mind as I'm thinking about this sermon. This is the day of your baptism, Liz, a very special day in your spiritual life. You've taken a significant step of faith in joining a long line of believers who have gone through the same waters of baptism as you have just done. This is a day of celebration for you and your family, and again, I'm honored to be part of this special day for you. This sermon text, Matthew 6, 16 through 18, about fasting, whatever that's all about, is a challenge for you, Liz, and for all of us who would put our faith in Jesus. The challenge is kind of twofold. On the one hand, it is a challenge to see our spiritual lives as an ongoing process, not as a checklist of moments, but as a process that continues. And secondly, the challenge is for us to do the things that we do, to celebrate the moments that we have to celebrate in ways that don't draw attention to ourselves and our wonderful spirituality, but instead to do the things that we do, all of the things that we do, to point other people to Jesus Christ. This is one of the most meaningful things that we do when we baptize folks. We invite family and friends to come join as part of the process. Liz has done this. There are two pews full of family and friends of hers that have come to see this. And she does this as a witness, a living witness of who Jesus is, so as to point other people to Jesus. Liz, living as a Christian is a series of long-term commitments. It is a series of processes that draw us into alignment with God's purposes in this world. As we do this, we learn how to overcome the temptations that we face, and we learn how to become living witnesses to God's mercy. There's a danger, though, in doing the things that we do and growing in discipleship. The danger is doing these things so that other people will notice how good we are. The temptation is really always there, not just for Liz today, but for all of us every day. The temptation is there for us to do the things that we do so that others notice us. There's a little bit of ego inside all of us, and for some of us it's a bigger bit of ego than others. And it comes and goes at various times in our lives. There's a short step to take between doing something so others will notice us and then suddenly putting on a mask, a facade, so that others will think we're doing things for the right reasons, when really we're not. It's especially true on this day of your baptism, Liz. Now, you and I and your mother have talked at length about baptism over the past several weeks, and I'm convinced that this is an authentic expression of your faith in Jesus. It's the right time for you to be baptized. I'm convinced that this is all well and right. But it's very easy to say, I'm not doing this for people to applaud me. I'm not doing this so people will notice, but it sure would be nice if somebody would say congratulations afterwards. It's natural, and it's, of course, people will. Don't worry about that. They will, because we're happy for you. But how easy it is for us to slip from the one to the other. I'm doing this not so anyone notices, but to point people to Jesus. But really, if you would just affirm me a little bit. In some ways, I think we all want that. It's a common, universal human temptation. The desire to be noticed, to be well thought of, even to have selfish motives. Jesus addresses this problem in Matthew 6, this portion of Matthew 6. The few verses that we've read today, 16 through 18, are all about fasting. And if you look at the previous two passages that we looked at in the previous 2 weeks, compare this to the previous passages, one on giving to those in need and one on praying, the language is almost exactly the same. Jesus has been saying the same thing over and over again. This is now the third time in a row that he said, don't do what the hypocrites do. They have received their reward in full. And remember that your Father, who sees everything that is done in secret, will reward you. He said the same thing 3 times in a row. I have a friend, a good friend of mine, Pastor Shannon New Spangler. She's the pastor over at Lordstown, in Lordstown, Ohio. I always get the name of the church mixed up. Harvest Point Church, a Church of God congregation in Lordstown, Ohio. Sorry, Shannon. And she says to her congregation, I listen to her sermons each week, and she says to her congregation many, many times, if something is repeated in Scripture, what does that tell you? It must be important, and the people are primed to know that, so let's try. If something is repeated over and over again in Scripture, what does that tell you? It must be important. The folks on the right side of the congregation got it. Thank you. Those of you who have raised children know this. If you tell your kids the same thing a million times, and finally they get it when they're about 25 years old, right? If something is important, you repeat it over and over again. What is Jesus saying here in Matthew 6? When you do religious things, when you do righteous things, don't do them to be seen by others, but do them to be seen by God. Now, that's kind of strange. When we think about the topic of this passage today, the topic of fasting, because the topic is strange, we understand giving to the needy and praying the previous 2 sections, doing those kind of privately and not letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing and all that good stuff, sure. But when you fast, Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast, don't let people on to the secret that you're fasting. But instead, let it be between you and God. If Jesus had been talking about baptism, it would have been a little easier to understand. When you're baptized, don't do it so other people see you, but do it so it's between you and God. But when we baptize, it has to be done in public because it's a public declaration of faith. So it's kind of complicated and it's hard, Liz, to do this with a straight face and say, yeah, Jesus is my Lord, but don't applaud me, but don't do it too much. It's a difficult balance to strike. In some ways, the same is true of fasting. Fasting is an ancient religious practice that is still practiced by many Christians today, and in fact, by many people of many religions, many faiths today practice fasting. It's something that strangely blends the physical and the spiritual. In some ways, baptism blends the physical and the spiritual together as well. For Liz, just as you were completely immersed in a pool of water. It's a physical thing that happened to you, but there was something spiritual, something internal that was happening at the same time, that was connected and yet somehow different from the act of being baptized. The same is true of fasting. Abstaining from food or from a certain kind of food for a certain length of time is something that is incredibly physical, but it's done for sort of spiritual reasons. It was common, very common, in Jesus' day for practicing Jews to fast. That's why he picked it as an example, along with giving to the needy and praying and now fasting. They're things that everybody just did. So when he says, when you fast, the people would say, oh yeah, well, I'm scheduled to do that this Friday or whatever. They would know it. During a time of fast, a person devotes himself or herself to prayer, to meditation, to reading Scripture, perhaps to memorizing Scripture. The goal is to strengthen your relationship with God while you are weakening your dependence on physical things. The connection between eating and spirituality is a conflicting relationship. People who fast are practicing the practice of fasting so that they can break their reliance on things of this world, so that they can pay more attention to things of the Lord. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights at the beginning of his ministry, before he went proclaiming the kingdom of God. He fasted in the wilderness, depending completely on the Lord for all of his provision. Today, not just Christians, not just Jews, but Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and people of all faiths fast. There is something about struggling against your dependence on food for physical nourishment that enhances your dependence on God for spiritual nourishment. When Jesus says to the people, to his disciples and the others that were around, when you fast, many did, he says, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be like the hypocrites who disfigure their faces to show people that they are fasting. There's a wonderful play on words here that Jesus uses. The word to disfigure means to make unattractive or to not maintain your appearance, to look miserable or disheveled. And the word behind that, the Greek word in Scripture, is aphanizo, which means literally to make invisible, to cover up, to disappear, to hide, to vanish. It's the opposite of phanizo. Aphanizo and phanizo are opposites of each other. And phanizo just means to show or to reveal or to make visible. And so Jesus says, the play on words is this: when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites who aphanizo their faces just to phanizo themselves to people that they are fasting. Don't look at me, don't look at me, but really, if you would just look at me a little bit, that would be wonderful. Don't be like the hypocrites. How easy it is for us to do that, to do things for people to notice us. How tempting it is, Liz, to be baptized. But don't pay attention to it. But you know, I was baptized today. But how often do we do this? Liz, if you're being baptized today just so people will celebrate with you, then your attitude isn't right. And as Jesus says, you've received your reward in full. It's already happened. Everyone has seen it and has celebrated with you, and that's it. I don't think that's her motivation, by the way. There's another reason that fasting is an interesting choice for Jesus to make here. He's talked about giving to the needy and praying and now fasting. Fasting is a process. It's an ongoing thing. Giving to the needy and praying are things that you can do in a point in time and be done with it. Here, have $20. Here are 20 minutes worth of prayer. Fasting is a completely different animal. It's something that takes time. Even being baptized is just a moment in time, and then it's done. But fasting is a long-term commitment. You haven't fasted until you've done it for a long time. How many of you are fasting right now? Well, I notice you're not eating anything, so you must be fasting. No. Unless you're planning to skip Sunday lunch and spend that time in prayer or some other kind of meditation, you're not actually fasting right now, even though you're not actually eating, which is sort of the opposite of fasting, right? No, that's not how it works. Fasting is a process. It's important to have this example of fasting in these teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, lest we think that our spiritual lives can be done in moments and in time instead of through time and over time. Jesus reminds us that some of our practices in growing in relationship with God are long-term and ongoing. They're not accomplished with discrete tasks. So, Liz, as you have been baptized today, hear the challenge of this short teaching. Your act of faith shines the light of Christ to all of those who have seen it this day. So let that light draw attention to Jesus, not to you yourself. Realize that God your Father sees what is done in secret and, in fact, what is done in public, and will reward you. Your walk with Christ is just that, a walk. And as important as the step is that you have taken today, the step of being baptized, your walk with Christ is not a series of steps to be taken, but it is a walk. When you go on a walk, right, you take a whole bunch of steps. But it's not about the steps, it's about the walk that you take. It's one thing, not a bunch of little things. Does that make sense? Liz, take every opportunity to align your life with God's purposes in this world. Let us all give to the needy and pray and fast for continual growth. Whatever the religious practices we do are, let us do each of them for continual growth in Christ. And let us do them sincerely and genuinely. The most important thing that Jesus teaches in all of this Sermon on the Mount is that our expression of religious life in Him must be genuine and authentic and not done as hypocrites do, just putting on a mask for others to see. Growth in Christ will never stop. It's not something that we accomplish and move on from. It's not something that is achieved at the ripe old age of 17. It's not something, Olive, that's achieved at the ripe old age of 101 next month, or anything in between or beyond it. Growing in Christ is something that continues every moment, not even just every day, every moment. So may it be that we live lives that are pleasing to the Lord through a continual process of relying on Him for every moment's needs. Would you join me in prayer? O Lord our God, we give you thanks for being God all the time. When we say God is good all the time and all the time God is good, it's easy for us to forget the all the time part. We like to think of you being good, but Lord, help us to remember it all the time. Make us more and more after your image. Fill us with your Spirit so that we might live for you all the time and live for you all the time. That the emphasis of our lives might be on glorifying you and pointing other people to your goodness and your salvation and redemption through Jesus and his death and resurrection. Give us grace that we might accomplish these things and draw ever closer to you every day of our lives. And watch over our sister Liz as she begins this new chapter of her life, being now baptized, having been a believer in Jesus for some time, but now having given witness publicly of her faith in you. Strengthen her in these days, and strengthen us all in these days, that we might grow and mature into you. We give you all praise and glory for what you are doing in our lives, and we look forward to what you will do in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.